The best trips don't just take you somewhere new. They change the way you see the world. On Wayfinder Life-Changing Travel, uncover the delights of every destination across city hideaways and crystal blue shores. Sponsored by Season 2 launch partner, Fiji Airways.
When it comes to a stopover, people don't recognize the value until they actually do it. So I wanted to see how stopping off in Fiji and doing my buffer there instead of going straight back to Sydney, how that shifted me into the mentality and got me ready for going back to real life. And, you know, the best cure for anxiety is feeling nurtured and calm and taken care of. And I think Fijian hospitality lends into that quite well. Fiji kind of wraps around you in a way that's warmer than everywhere else. I think it's because the culture grew up centered by community.
Listen to brand new episodes of Wayfinder Life-Changing Travel on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Sexy, huh?
You ready? We are. Every Wednesday, Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, joins us. Tim, what's going on?
Got an interesting week, huh, fellas?
It has been an interesting couple of days of shows. We knew this day was coming, and hats off to the NFL that they made it through 3 weeks of a schedule before finally a hiccup would happen. Unfortunately, the hiccup happened to be in our backyard, but I still think it's a victory, a small victory for the NFL that it took this long for this to happen, right? We knew it was a matter of not if it would happen, when would it happen?
Correct. I think we definitely felt like, hey, you know, when would it happen? I don't know that I would call it a victory for the NFL until we, you know, continue to play games, not have to cancel games, not have to reschedule games with, you know, virtually no window to reschedule them in. So, you know, I don't know that I would say it's a victory yet. If you just look at what's happened in college football, well, let me give you an example. Virginia Tech, who I had this past weekend, there were three games that they were planning on playing prior to the game that they played. And, you know, so they've almost kind of used up their ability to reschedule games. And I think they played last week. Now they won. They played last week because I think they felt like they had to because they're run out of room to reschedule. So, I don't know. I just don't know. Like, is playing I don't know how playing Tuesday is any different with, like, what the guidelines are to, you know, in terms of close proximity and, you know, having to basically quarantine even with a negative test. Like, negative tests right now in some ways are irrelevant, right? Like, because you might not get a negative right now. Like, that's the whole point of the...
In other words, you could have it, but not test positive until several days later. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, what I'm saying is based on what everybody is saying we need to do, is if there is a positive test in your home, okay, just let's use your home, because when these guys are in a locker room facility or, you know, practicing with each other, they're in close proximity of one another. If you have a positive test in your home, your negative test doesn't matter. You still have to, for 2 weeks, quarantine. Right? I mean, that's...
Well, they're saying 10 days, right?
Okay, 10 days.
Okay.
So, you know, at that point, you know, that's what you do. What I'm saying is, let's just say, you know, there are players that are on a plane, you know, together, and we have four positive tests. Well, the negative tests on a Wednesday, like, does that mean anything based on what they're telling, you know, what matters, I guess, right?
Yeah, I think what you're saying is it's good news, but it may not be, you may not totally be in the clear until several days after that, right?
Yeah, it's great that there weren't 50 positive tests.
Right.
But what everybody is, what we are being told as a general public is your negative test doesn't matter, right? Like if one of my kids tested positive, okay, and the other one got a negative test, they can't go to school, right? So let's just apply it to the players now. If one guy tests positive, were those guys in close proximity? They flew on an airplane. So, look, I'm saying all this. I'm also saying that I've talked to countless college coaches now that have had the virus run through their football team. Virginia Tech just played a football game where they didn't have their defensive coordinator available to call plays. And, you know, I asked them, has anyone been sick? And, you know, his answer was no. So, yeah, I guess what I'm saying is I don't think it's a success because I don't know if we're going to play the game. And if we don't play the game, I don't know how you reschedule these games.
I said I meant success as in they got through 3 weeks without this. That's all. I'm not saying about this situation. I'm saying I can't believe college football has been every single week. Like they have not had a week of nothing. I mean, every right. single week. That's why I said 3 weeks to me of nothing has been a success. Like, I can't believe they made it 3 weeks mm-hmm. of a full schedule. Like, I figured this, what we're talking yeah. about, would be every single week. Or close to
play?
It. Yes, I do. It's going to be Monday or Tuesday. I think they're going to play Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think they will, which I think is a good thing, you know. And I think that the players will probably handle it well. You know, I've seen a few college games where the coaches have really moaned and groaned about the inability to have guys available to practice or coaches available to coach the guys to get ready. And then when they've played, you know, they've won the game and they've played fantastic. And so, you know, I think teams are going to be faced with this. And I think by and large, I think people watching will be impressed with the product.
Take us through, because Chris Sanders, when we were having this conversation yesterday, because this turned into our entire show. Sometimes you have to pivot when you're doing live radio, and we pivoted, and this was basically our show yesterday when talking about, okay, because Mike Vrabel made the comment, look, he's telling his players, you know, it gets out there publicly that he has told his players, if all we can do is go through the walkthrough on Saturday and we have to play on Sunday, this was yesterday, then that's just what we have to do, like no excuses. And I get that, you know, it's the whole coaching mentality we're just talking about, but how like realistic is that? And Chris Sanders texted me and he says, you know, most of the time during the week it's more about mental preparation than actually, you know, stuff, you know, if you're unable to do stuff on the field. How do you feel about that as a former player missing field?
Yeah, it's not ideal, and I would agree with Chris in that it's not going to be your best game plan. You're just going to be timing things that, you know, you're not able to work on that week. You know, look, maybe there's a blitz that, you know, requires a little bit of timing, or maybe you need to check out of it based on a formation that you get, or, you know, whatever that situation is. And so maybe you don't have that blitz up for that week, or maybe, you know, you maybe have a route that you want to work on, a double move or something like that, that maybe would require some timing and practice. Well, maybe it's just not in the game plan to play. And so, you know, I think that's where, you know, it becomes more like, you know, when you watch All-Star games, when they're like, look, you can play this coverage. You can play man coverage. You know, you can play cover one man or cover three zone. Like, that's what you're allowed to play. That's it. Nothing else. And, you know, it's going to come down to blocking and tackling, you know, like every coach ever said, you know, when you started playing high school football. Like, I think it ends up being that. And so I think that Mike Vrabel has taken the right position, not because it's just good coach speak for his football team, but because, look, that's just the reality of how it's going to go now.
Yeah.
Like, people would have never dreamt of, and not in this environment, no one would have ever agreed to, hey, play a football game without a single practice leading up to it. But that's just the hand you're dealt, and so you can complain about it, or you can be like, yep, that's what we're going to do. We're going to do it over Zoom. You know, stay ready, work out as much as you can at home, and just be ready to play because we have to.
Oh, and by the way, in a season where you didn't have preseason either. I mean, it's,
yeah.
You know. It's...
But what are your options? You know, and look, you may even have a guy, you know, hey, you got a tackle that's banged up, and so maybe you want to get the next guy some reps. And, in fact, you know, he hadn't really been playing a ton of left tackle. He's, you know, mostly been, you know, kind of swinging around and playing right tackle some. And so now that's a challenge. But you know what? Like, so you got to figure it out. And so maybe you just find a way to make that not an issue as much as possible. And I think that's just what people are going to do. And I think for the Titans, you know, the tricky part is, you know, maybe they're kind of the first ones to have to go through it.
We're talking to Tim Hasselbeck from ESPN. And, Tim, I want to go back to something you said because I don't know that I had thought it through. Joe Rexrode from our staff and The Athletic asked the question to Mike Vrabel about the incubation period. And he said, is that why you, as of now, you can't get back into the facility as a group until Saturday? Although they were given the okay to bring their players in and get, you know, treatment for injuries, the Lawans, et cetera. And Mike Vrabel gave the answer of, you know, I'm not here to talk about the incubation period. I just listen to the experts and they tell me when we can go. And he seemed optimistic that there was a chance that they could get in before Saturday. And he said there's also a chance we can't get in on Saturday and we have to wait. But I guess we should all be thinking that there's maybe some more steps to this before they get clear, because I think Joe Rexrode then emphasized that does have to do with the incubation period being several days before you, in theory, could be carrying the virus and not show up on a positive test. Because that would be the worst case scenario. You wouldn't want something to happen, you know, hours before the game. You get that last run of tests and you do find out there's a couple more positives.
Yeah, and I think, you know, and you probably laid it out better than I laid it out, Willie. And I think that's the thing that I have seen with college football.
Yes.
You know, we had production meetings last week with Virginia Tech. And, you know, their threshold in college football, or one of them, is 6 scholarship offensive linemen need to be available. Well, you know, that's great if you have 6 scholarship offensive linemen. But what happens if your long snapper, your punt snapper, is out? You know, in college football, like, for example, you know, they were down to their 3rd and 4th, Virginia Tech was, long snapper a week ago. And they were not finding out until the morning of their game based on when they tested. And so I think that's the tricky part, especially with roster sizes being, you know, much smaller in pro football, is, you know, to that point of, hey, it's good news that we just have 4 positive tests. The problem is that we're not done testing, and in order for us to play, we're going to test again. And now what happens if, listen, our starting quarterback tests positive, or, you know, or our kicker for that matter? Okay, so now how are we scrambling to be able to play a game, and what's the competitive disadvantage at that point? So, yeah, I think those are all still legitimate concerns, and I think those are legitimate concerns all the way up through Monday, Tuesday, whenever the game ends up being played.
Yeah, and yet they felt confident enough to say, we're shooting for Monday or Tuesday. And it was funny that I think Dan Graziano was one that said this morning he was texting with a Titans player that said he had tested negative 3 times yesterday. So 3 results in one day. So you know they're doing as much possible testing that they can to get as much information up to the minute as they can. But
yeah,
let's go ahead, Tim.
I was just going to say, and then, you know, and I don't know the other side of this, but, okay, and so say that there is, you know, that concern. Well, what's the opposing team saying? Like, what are those players saying about playing a team that they're unsure about? You know, there's a lot of factors to this that I think are already unfortunate.
Yep. So, Tim, let's get to logistics. Let's say that they are able to get on the field and play Monday or Tuesday. The Titans are going to have to find a long snapper. I'm curious, Have you ever in your travels, I know the punter does it a lot, have you ever been a holder at any level of college? So tell us about the chemistry that has to happen and how much that could affect. You got a relatively new kicker, and now you're going to have a brand new long snapper for the Titans.
Yeah, I will say this. Yes, I was a holder, and I can tell you the difference between somebody that's a long snapper in college and somebody that's a long snapper in the pros is totally different. So, like, you know, guys, you know, that were long snappers on some of the teams I was on, got like Mike Bartram, who played in the NFL for over a decade, Ethan Albright, same drill, Ryan Keel, another guy, been in the NFL over a decade. And what I always found interesting with those guys was, you know, in college, you know, you would kind of be able to talk to your, you know, the snapper about like, hey, where you wanted the ball located. I remember getting to the Philadelphia Eagles and Mike Bartram saying, where do you want the laces? And I was like, what do you mean? He said, where do you want the laces when you catch it? And I'm like, oh, shoot. I mean, if I could get the laces right here, that'd be amazing. But how would you do that? They'd be like, well, I'll rotate the ball so that, you know, I know how many times it's going to spin and how it's going to spin that, you know, you'll catch it with the laces. And I thought, why? Like, I can't do that throwing a ball. How could you do that throwing the ball through your leg? But he did. So some of these guys are really, really good. And, you know, look, are there more than 32 guys on the planet that can be, you know, long snappers in the NFL? Yes, there are. But, you know, the operation's important. And, you know, there's a comfort level and there's kind of an expectation. So, yeah, I think that stuff can be a really big deal. It can be the difference between winning and losing a game.
We're talking to Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine, here with us every Wednesday, usually at noon, on Darren Donick and Chase. So the Titans' opponent, the Pittsburgh Steelers, 3-0, currently atop the AFC North with Baltimore's loss to Kansas City. We've had many conversations with you about Ben Roethlisberger and what's his health like. So far, so good. He seems to be back to his form that we've seen in the past. Are you a believer in Pittsburgh right now of being one of the top contenders in the AFC?
I am. You know, when Kevin Colbert, their general manager, said at the combine that he expects Ben to be, you know, maybe in some ways better than he had been, you know, in recent years. And that was coming off of Ben's, you know, 2018 season where statistically it was as good as any year he had ever had. You know, for that team to go 8-8 last year with the quarterback play the way that it was, to have as much team speed as they have on defense, to have an offensive line as good as that offensive line, and then a healthy Ben back. Okay, when I heard him say that, I said, if he's telling the truth, they are a Super Bowl contending team. Maybe aren't the best team in their division, but they are a Super Bowl contending team. And I think that you're seeing that. And Chase, to your point about, you know, Ben looking like the old Ben, I thought there were two throws week one on stuff down the field that I thought, yep, like, that looks pretty good. That looks like the Ben I've seen. And then there was a play this last week, you know, where he's kind of scrambling off to his right and running and, you know, kind of initiates some contact as he's fighting for a first down. And I thought, this looks like a guy that kind of is playing fearlessly the way that Ben always had. So, yeah, I think they're a for real football team.
Is some of that psychological, though, of, you know, in his mind, he knows that he's closer to the end than he is the beginning, and that whether it's this year or next year, but there is that little voice in his head that says, I got a good football team. I got to take it while I can get it. This is almost over. And so just psychologically, does that maybe factor into some of this?
Yeah. Look, I think for sure for Ben, I think there's been a change in him. I mean, quite honestly, you know, he was a guy that seemed like he was contemplating retirement, you know, and talking about it. I think some of the way, you know, the way he handled like Mason Rudolph being drafted even publicly, you know, I just think that there was like this edge to him that, you know, made me kind of wonder like how much longer he was going to continue to do it. And I think there's been a change. I mean, I think he looks good. I think he, seems like he's kind of applied himself to get in shape for the season. And I also think that, you know, sometimes having to take a step away and miss a game that you love playing, which I think he clearly does, can kind of, you know, make you miss it and, you know, light a fire again. And so it feels like we're seeing that with Ben.
Do you agree with the Nick Foles decision in Chicago?
You know, I think I do. I will say this, though. I thought it was the right decision to start Mitchell Trubisky. You know, I thought that he had played fairly well, you know, the start of this season. I didn't think he was playing that poorly when he was benched. You know, obviously it was the right decision because of the way that Nick came in and played. So, yeah, I think it's fine. I think Nick probably gives them as good of a chance to win. But I was a little bit surprised that it happened, to be candid. And I think when you make a move like that, it's kind of, now it's done. It's a decision that is, you know, signed, sealed, and delivered, I think. And so from that perspective, you know, you should really hope that, you know, Nick is able to stay healthy for the entire year. And, you know, that's not really been the case for him, you know, throughout his career. So that would be my biggest concern.
And then also we saw on Sunday Night Football, Green Bay, they moved to 3-0. Aaron Rodgers, even though they didn't really get him any help in the offseason, he seems to be making it all work so far through three games. What's your feeling on the Packers and Rodgers specifically?
Yeah, look, they were 13-3 last year, and Aaron had a really good year, not a crazy statistical year, and a lot of that was because Aaron Jones was so good. And then when you look at kind of how that offense was changing, you know, they were running the football more and they were, you know, finding easy completions off of play action and stuff like that. And so, you know, I looked at Green Bay and I thought, well, shoot, they're 13-3. One of the reasons I didn't like the draft selection of Jordan Love was because I thought, well, what if you drafted Chase Claypool, who the Steelers have drafted, who's already been very good for the Steelers, and added him to that wide receiver group. And then let's say Aaron has a big year. Like, I think if you look at the NFC, I mean, yeah, look, New Orleans is really good. You know, I think, you know, Seattle is always a tough, you know, competitive team. But, like, why not Green Bay? I mean, why can they not be in the mix? And so I think they're a really good football team. And, you know, I think they're going to be in a situation where they're going to have another good year. Aaron will have great numbers. And, you know, this move on from Aaron Rodgers, you know, probably doesn't happen the way some people maybe, you know, foresaw it, you know, we're projecting it to happen.
Last year's playoff game against the Titans and then Monday night's game against Kansas City. What's your level of concern, Lamar Jackson, in big spots against teams that have maybe figured out how to scheme against what Lamar's strengths are?
Yeah, you know, I don't think it's a big game issue for him. I just think that he's going to be kind of streaky. And so there'll be games that, you know, aren't amazing, especially if you can end up doing a good job in the run game. So I think that's just how it is. You know, when you watch him play, you know, there are games he's really accurate, but if you look at him, you're like, man, I mean, his feet were kind of out of whack. You know, he drops his elbow way down, but he still makes a nice throw to the tight end. The guy makes a contested catch, and, you know, that is his third touchdown pass. And so, you know, when that's the case, like, I just think it's hard to be super, super consistent that way. And so I think you'll see games that aren't amazing. But, listen, he's not done having – great games and big spots. I mean, that'll continue to happen. And, you know, it just didn't happen Monday night.
Good stuff as always. Enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll talk to you next week.
All maybe, right, sounds good. Stay safe, boys.
Maybe right after a Titans-Steelers game. Who knows?
Oh, yeah. You know what? A little post-game action.
Could be. Tim Hasselbeck, every Wednesday on the program. If they play on Tuesday night, we will be reacting to the Titans and the Steelers next week with Tim. We'll come back. More on the other side. Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game.
The best trips don't just take you somewhere new. They change the way you see the world. On Wayfinder Life-Changing Travel, uncover the delights of every destination across city hideaways and crystal blue shores. sponsored by Season 2 launch partner Fiji Airways.
When it comes to a stopover, people don't recognize the value until they actually do it. So I wanted to see how stopping off in Fiji and doing my buffer there instead of going straight back to Sydney, how that shifted me into the mentality and got me ready for going back to real life. And, you know, the best cure for anxiety is feeling nurtured and calm and taken care of. And I think Fijian hospitality lends into that quite well. Fiji kind of wraps around you in a way that's warmer than everywhere else. I think it's because the culture grew up centered by community.
Listen to brand new episodes of Wayfinder Life-Changing Travel on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe. Rechalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.